going to ask that you remain standing for our scripture lesson for the sermon. It is the same passage that we read last week. I'd like you to hear it again. Let it wash over you, sink deeply into your hearing, since we'll be referring to it rather speedily this day. But it'll be important for you to hear this passage once again. From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll be reading verses 17 through 34. The Word of the Living God. Now, in giving you these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. For there must be factions among you, so that those who are approved among you may be made evident. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you, and this is my memorial." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, as my memorial. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, so that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, do give us understanding so that we may love you with not just our whole hearts and our minds, with our hearts and strength, but also with our minds. Enable us to do this by your Holy Spirit and cause your word to be clear, and enable our testimony to be clear as well, for we bear your name. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, and all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and state the obvious. We are a congregation which cheerfully welcomes baptized children to the Lord's table. We cheerfully and openly welcome children to the Lord's table. These children are not only our children, they are the Lord's children. These children, by our Lord's kindness, have been placed in believing homes with at least one believing parent. These children of the Lord have been placed in Spirit-blessed homes. Children, you have been placed in Spirit-blessed homes. You are counted among the children of God. When I say, or when the Scriptures address the children of God, in a sense, that's referring to all of us. But the children here, they particularly can relate to that. Yes, I'm a child of God and I'm a child. Yes. These are children in this congregation who are capable of normal eating and normal drinking. There is no force feeding going on here. These children are part of the covenant. A covenant established by God, defined by God. These children are part of the household of God. Yes, They are part of our households as well. They sit at our family tables in our homes. But they are also welcomed at this family table, the table of the family of God. Children, you belong to the Lord's people. You are of the Lord's people. Our children are, to be more direct, part of the body of Christ. They are part of the community. Let me say that again. Our children are part of the community. That means they commune in the community. It makes sense for them to come to the communion table. So I'm going to use this word communion now in three different ways. Communion can be a summary of the Christian faith, a summary of the Christian faith, of the Christian church. The Apostles' Creed has us saying, I believe in the communion of the saints. Communion refers to the church. The communion of the saints refers to the church. Communion is also what we do. We commune with one another. We have communion with one another. We have fellowship with one another. Koinonia, partnership. Communion is also used in that way. Communion is also used in 1 Corinthians 10:16 as a way to refer to the Lord's table. We may refer to the Lord's table as the communion table. The communion table. Do you have communion at your church? Yes, we have it every Sunday. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Is not the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Yes, it is. Communion. It's a summary of the Christian church. It's what we do as we interact with one another, and it's also a summary of the Eucharistic table, the table of the Lord. So, when we speak of someone being in communion, we are saying they're part of the Christian church. We say that that is something that they do as they interact with one another in the Christian church, and it is also found at the communion table. It's what we do in the Eucharist. We have communion with the Lord and with one another. And by the way, if somebody is not in the church, they are not in the communion. If someone is running sideways to the church, you could say that they are out of fellowship with the communion. And if someone renounces everything that Christ has to say and says, forget that, they are removed from the communion of the saints, they are removed from the church, they are removed from the fellowship, they are removed from the table, they are called excommuned. They are no longer communed. They are excommunicated. They have been removed from the body of Christ. So what about this, children in worship? Children, our children are in worship. They are not just at worship. Just a little while ago, one of the songs that we were singing just after the assurance of pardon, I saw a wee little fellow just doing this out there. Just had his hands up. It's just beautiful. Every Lord's Day when we sing the doxology or the Gloria Patri, the first few notes are hit. I see the little children. Somebody's tempted to say, they don't really understand what's going on. Yeah, that's right. They don't understand everything that's going on, but that doesn't mean they don't understand some things that are going on. The point is, our children are not just at worship. You parents may sometimes be thinking, oh, you know, is it all worth it? Yes, it is. It is. Can we continue on? This is difficult. Our children are not just at worship. They are in worship. They are involved in worship. They are here. They belong here. And they are to participate here. Now, why do we do this? Simply stated, it's because the Lord has always included the children of His children in the covenant and in worship. Always, from cover to cover, from Adam to Adam. The Lord has always included the children of His children in the covenant and in worship. It's seen from cover to cover. Now, I'm not going to repeat this. We have taught on this before. I'm going to give it to you in very short form. The very first Passover, a family was to choose a lamb according to their need is how our translations render it. The Hebrew is according to the mouths of the eating. Pick a lamb according to how many mouths eat. And so what would a family do? They'd look how many mouths here eat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, that's the size of a lamb we need. It's that basic. That's found in Exodus 12, verse 4. And to confirm how that Hebrew phrase is used, it's used also in Exodus 16, verse 16, when manna, what is that, was given. You were to gather manna according to the mouths of the eating. Who needed to eat manna? Everyone needed to eat the manna. So if there was someone normally eating food, normally drinking, you would gather according to the mouths of the eating. So the very first Passover, the children were expected to be part of the ritual, the observance, the worship, the gathering from the beginning. So among us, this is common. It's part of our common communion. It is customary among us. This practice is something we do each week. And for each one of us, amidst the oddities and the curiosities, this is a practice that has been enhanced by many more breadcrumbs. How many beautiful little skirts have had wine spills on them? It happens. And by the way, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. Oftentimes, parents need to assist. Don't just let the, you know, we're training our children. We're not going to let them just grab whatever's coming by. We're going to train them. We're going to teach them how to do this, just like you do at the dining table at home. You teach them. But it's wonderful and beautiful, and we have come to learn as parents. We see our children's expectant eyes and longing hands. We have been made as hungry beings. We have great joy that our Lord's claim is so pervasive that it includes even our children. Moms and dads, you know this. You know that you're a sinner and you've married a sinner, and it's astonishing that our Lord loves you so much that He says, I welcome you as well as the children I give you. You stop right there. You know that the Lord welcomes you to this table? The night which our Lord is betrayed, He took bread. You know, this bread and this cup was given for the remission of sins. So too with our children. This is astonishing. This is wondrous. And yet, this practice that is dear to us, that we pursue according to grace, and we must be gracious in the way that we interact with this, even with others who don't see it the way we do. It does no good, by the way, to deal with the doctrines of grace in a non-gracious way. It does no good to deal with the sacraments or the signs and seals of the covenant of grace in a non-gracious way. It doesn't mean we don't have convictions. We do. But we must understand in this that not everyone sees it this way. For some, this practice is not so obvious. It's certainly not acceptable. Some think that having the children of believers in communion to be improper. Some think and teach that the Bible actually prohibits such a practice, and that prohibition is something that which comes straight from the text of Scripture. And they think it is because that children are not, young children are not able to do something which is required of those who come to the table. They consider that young children are not able to discern the Lord's body. This is weighty. This is serious. There is a concern that children will not eat or drink in a worthy manner, that they are unable to perform the necessary self-examination, or at least an adequate self-examination, much like the rest of us can do. There is a sincere concern that such unworthy partaking will actually be a form of judgment upon them, an eating and drinking of judgment to oneself. This is weighty. These are the very words of Scripture found in our text today. These are words spoken of in the context of the Lord's Supper. Indeed, where a very church was gathering. These words are found in verses 27 through 29 of our text today. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Okay. There were difficulties in Corinth. Some of you have a tendency right now to hit the check out box and go, yeah, I've heard this before. Hear it again. Don't check out. Don't do that. There were some difficulties in the church of Corinth. There were difficulties at the Lord's table at the church in Corinth. There were abuses occurring in and around the Lord's table at the church in Corinth. However, child communion, children at communion, was not the problem. So while we want to say, yes, we must go to the Scriptures, we need to say, yes, we must go all the way to the Scriptures. What was the problem there? So that we can understand if that's a problem here. And if the problem there in Corinth was not children at communion, we need to be careful about drawing that conclusion. Children at communion was not the problem at the church of Corinth. That is not spoken of as the problem. Even more. So that's the negative. That's not the problem there. But positively, I want to suggest this. That once we take a look at the context that Paul is dealing with, remember it's a letter. He's presenting all of this. You're going to find that the context, he's actually saying, in this passage, children are welcome. So two things. For starters, he's saying, the problem is not having the children of believers participating in the covenant meal. That's not the problem. He's actually going to say, positively, the children are welcomed and expected to be at the table. The context shows this. Okay, so here we are. What was the problem? Remember last week I gave you the big picture. I'm going to give you the big picture again in very short order here. When the Corinthian church gathered, they were gathering separately. When the Corinthian church gathered, they were gathering as a divided group. There were factions, divisions, quarrels, and squabbles going on. It has been declared to me from chapter 1, verse 11, it's been declared to me by those of Chloe's household that there are quarrels among you. Yes, they've been quarreling. Instead of union with, communion with one another, there was actually disunion with one another. Instead of unity, there was disunity. This is an ongoing problem in Corinth. Where were they found? They were found at the sacraments. You know, Paul says, I thank God that I didn't baptize any of you except maybe Crispus and Gaius. I can't remember if I baptized anyone else, but some people were saying, yeah, I was baptized by so-and-so. By the way, this whole idea of union and unity is going to be continued on in chapter 12 when we start talking about spiritual gifts, and in chapter 14 when we're dealing with the gift of tongues. The whole issue here has something to do with who are you? Are you in union with one another? So they were having party lines. They were taking sides. Some people were sophisticated, looking down on those who were less sophisticated. And I'm sure those who were less sophisticated were looking down their noses at those who were snobby-nosed and all of that. Oh, those people have got problems. They were having divisions between those who are wealthy, those who are not. Some were big into tolerating nasty sin, blatant wickedness. There were sexual issues. There were lawsuits, issues of idols. Love the way that N.T. Wright has phrased this. Listen to this. This is what he says. A glance through 1 Corinthians is like a stroll down a busy street. This is just the summary of 1 Corinthians. All of human life is there, squabbles and lawsuits, sex and shopping, rich and poor, worship and work, wisdom and folly, politics and religion. Some of the people we meet are puffed up with their own importance. Others are being squeezed to the edges of society. It is, in fact, like a stroll through the main streets and the forum of ancient Corinth itself. When this is happening, and by the way, if this was happening with you, if this was happening with us, we would find it at fellowship meals, we would find it on Wednesday evening Bible studies, we would find it whenever we gather in various places, and then when we gather here, we would bring it in with us. We would bring it in with us. It would be here at our gathering of the communion of the saints, at the communion table. So Paul says, I'm not going to praise you in this, because when you're getting together like that, it's not for the better. It's actually making things worse. Stop it. It's not how the body of Christ is supposed to behave. You've got your divisions. I believe it. I've heard about it. I want to see who's going to be approved. Verse 20. You're together, but you're not together. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. When you're coming together for communion, it is not for communion. You got a problem here. But that's what they were doing. They were coming together as the church. And what did the church do? They'd come to the table of the Lord. That's the problem. But specifically, Paul says, and we saw this last week, here is the problem. And again, the problem is not having children at the table. Here's what Paul says the trouble is. Verses 21 and 22. For in eating, each one has a self-supper. Each one takes his own supper ahead of the others. Somebody is hungry, another person is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God? And shame those who have nothing. Note the problem here. It's the treatment of the church of God. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? No. Reminder, that's what the problem is here. Right after this is when Paul speaks of that which I delivered to you, that which I received, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night of his betrayal, gave himself, body. On the night of his betrayal, poured himself out, cup. That's our pattern. Now let's stop. That was their problem there, but it doesn't mean that there aren't other manifestations of this here. Again, this isn't about children. The children weren't doing this. It is possible still for us to come in a factional way. To come and act like a seam ripper. I'm just going to cut every thread that I can find. That's a little thin thread. I don't like the color of that. Separate the fabric. You know how it often occurs? Is there an attitude? Something you say? Mumble it. Gossip it. Share it. In love, always. Paul is not saying anything about children abusing the table of the Lord. Rather, he is speaking about adults sinning against one another, and this sin relates to their treatment or their disregard of other members of the body of Christ. That's the sin. Disregard, poor treatment of others in the body of Christ. So when Paul gives his warning, those weighty words that cause us to pause and go, when Paul gives that exhortation, therefore whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, when Paul says that, it must be understood in the light of what was going on and what the problem was going on there at Corinth. Therefore, unworthy partaking referred to what they were doing. I'm going to come into this table pretending that I'm in communion with you and then going, get out of here. Stop it. Is it possible? Unworthy refers to what they were doing. They were not acting like the body of Christ. They were acting contrary to the communion table. They were acting contrary to Christ. That is why Paul says, thus, let a man examine himself. Take a look in the mirror. Take a strong, steady look in the mirror. Have you been treating others in the body in this way? We want to read this and let it flow to us as a letter would. Have you been doing this? If so, stop it. This is no joke. Is it possible for us to commune with one another and then not even want to talk to each other? Is it possible for us to come to the Lord's table together and then say, you know what? I'm not even going to be gracious to that person for whom Christ died. Let me fill in the blank. That person for whom Christ died. Is that possible? Happens. Let a man examine himself. You've been doing that? Stop it. Verse 29. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. Why? Because he is not discerning the Lord's body. He does not regard the Lord's body. Now I want to point out something in this passage. When Paul speaks of the body or the blood distinctly, or the bread or the cup, he's referring to the individual particular aspects of participation, the bread and the wine. He's very clear that if he speaks of, for as often as you eat this bread or drink this cup, he distinguishes them. In verse 29, he speaks of not discerning the Lord's body. This is not about, I wonder if Jesus' body, the bread, actually turned into Jesus' body. This is not about studying the bread or looking at the wine and going, is that truly the blood of Jesus Christ? Paul is saying if you're acting in this way, what you're doing is you're not properly discerning. You're not viewing Christ's body rightly, which is the church. It fits into the entire context here. The Corinthians, when they came to the table of the Lord, which was furnished with bread and wine, otherwise they couldn't have been getting drunk, they were neglecting one another, disregarding one another. They were not discerning the body of the church. They were not acting like the body of the church. They were not loving. Thus, severe judgments, because our Lord is severely earnest about His body. Jesus loves His body more than we do. Jesus loves your brother or sister in Christ more than you do. Jesus loves the person in the next pew more than you do. For this reason, many are weak, sick among you, and many sleep. I never thought of the church that way. I never thought of the sacraments that way. The Lord does. We're not allowed to conclude from that if somebody is sick, that means they have violated this. No, can't do that. We don't have that word before us. Okay. Let me summarize this so far. And then I'm going to end this in a positive way with regard to children. Welcome. Here we are. All of this goes to show that the examination which is to occur, the judging or the proving worthy of partaking, or the worthy partaking, has everything to do with our treatment and reception of others in the body of Christ. You are not in the body of Christ because of what you have done, and nor is your brother or sister in Christ's body because of what he or she has done, because of what the Lord has done. All right. How do you eat? Remember last week, you are how you eat. How do you interact with the body of Christ? This is a concern for consistency. If we are in union with Christ, we are also in union with one another. I cannot disregard the body of Christ without tearing that which pertains to me as well. Okay, this passage does not speak about children at the table. This passage does not prohibit children at the table. Next, positively, this context does expect children to be at the table. I would like to give you the context, and it's a context you already know. You already know this context, but so often we have become those who read our Bibles. We tend to appreciate the forest of the Word of God by studying a piece of bark on a piece of tree. And we forget that that bark is part of the tree, and that tree is part of this particular grove, and that grove is part of the forest. Here, we've looked at this and we go, worthy, unworthy, partaking, eating, drinking, judgment, damnation to oneself. What's the context here? Paul has not, right here, just started talking about the Lord's table. This is not the first time he's mentioned the Lord's table. The Lord's table discussion and the bread, the loaf, began in what we call chapter 10. So chapter 10 began the discussion of who you are as the body of Christ, who you are as the bread of Christ, who you are as the loaf of Christ, and who you are as the communion of Christ's body. This is not, we need to get the whole context. What does that context tell us? I'd like you to see it. Paul's table talk begins earlier. His table talk is about the faithfulness of God's people and whether or not God's people are going to continue to be acting like God's people. I'm almost finished. Chapter 10. I want you to hear this. Paul begins, "I don't want you to be unaware about our fathers, brothers." What happened back then in the wilderness, under the cloud and through the sea? Our fathers were baptized into Moses, right? They passed through the Red Sea. They had the same spiritual food. They had the same spiritual drink. They partook of Christ. Paul began speaking about God's people eating and drinking back then. Then you know what he does? He gives four instances of our fathers in the wilderness and their rebellion, which prevented them from entering the land of promise. I would like to share with you. Try to picture it. Picture it. We have deliverance from slavery, Exodus, and our fathers are in the wilderness. And they encounter, Paul is going to point out four instances. And the first instance is right after the Ten Commandments. The idolatry of the golden calf. That's found there in 10:6. "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them. They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." So verse 7 is about the idolatry of the golden calf. Who did that? The adults. Verse 8. "Is the sexual immorality in the plains of Moab with Balaam and Balak? Don't let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did." Who died? 23,000 fell in one day. Verse 9. What's next? "Those who tempted Christ with the fiery serpents. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents." They're all in the wilderness. Verse 10. This is the complaining. We're not going to be able to enter the land. They're giants. They're huge. "Nor let us complain as some of them complained, and they were destroyed by the destroyer." You're saying, okay, wrap it up. Make the point. Here it is. This context begins with the rebellion of covenant members in the wilderness who did not enter the land of promise. Let me read to you from Numbers chapter 14, verses 29 through 32. Listen. Who fell in the wilderness and who entered into the land of promise? You're going to find the rebels fell in the wilderness and the children entered the land. "The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in. And they shall know the land which you have despised, but as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. Our passage of 1 Corinthians 11 is not only not saying that the problem is not about having children at communion, but the larger context indicates that those who rebel will receive their due justice. And the instances that Paul gives happens to be of our fathers in the wilderness who thought, oh, no, we can't do this because our kids are going to die. And Paul is actually saying, no, no, no. I'm able to take care of your children. It's your children who will actually enter into the land. So we can't come to 1 Corinthians 11 and say, oh, all of a sudden Paul is now talking about the Lord's table. He's been talking about the Lord's table since at least chapter 10. And you know what he's saying? I'm calling you to faithfulness. I'm calling you to follow my word. I'm calling you to act like my people, to discern my body rightly. That's the context. So there's so much before us. There's so much ahead of us still. I'm going to say to you this by way of closing. Press on with your training. What a wonderful opportunity. You have the grace of the Lord upon you, and we get to hear children. Sometimes they'll fuss. Sometimes they'll do funny and odd things in here. Training is to continue. Parents, continue to train your children at home. Teach them how to sit. Teach them how to receive. And by the way, you, parents, get to show them how to be a humble bride, a receptive bride, by the way you receive. Even paltry sermons, you get to receive this. You get to say, you know what? The Lord is faithful. I'm going to show my children how important this is. And you get to be responsive in that way. How do you sit? How do you listen? How do you receive? And how do you respect others? All of these things we're learning and we're growing. And you know, if the Lord continues to bless us in the way He's blessed us, we're going to see even more people coming in here that have never even thought about this. We get to bear witness of the Lord and His grace even to them. Not in a cantankerous way, but we get to discern Christ's body with them. Well, may the Lord continue to shower us with His kindness, for He's been most kind to us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father in heaven, we will trust You for Your ongoing kindness and shaping of us. Thank You for the work of Your Spirit in conforming us more and more to the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I do pray that You will beautify this congregation even as we rightly discern Your body. May Your grace mark us in speech, in attitude, in behavior. And may all people know that we are Your disciples by the way that we love one another. We pray this through Jesus our Lord, and amen.